Would you join me as we pray this morning? Heavenly Father, our God, just hear it this morning. Thank you for being in the worship. God, you are the heart of it. And our hope this morning is not just simply to gain something for ourselves, but that you would be pleased, that you would be honored and glorified by this church body this morning. So, God, would you be with your people? As we enter into this text this morning, God, would you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would you allow us to know you more? Would this not just be another Sunday morning, but, God, a moment when the living God touched our life? And, God, we need you to do that. We cannot conjure that, but because we are in relationship with you through Christ, it can happen. And so we pray that it would. And all God's people said, Amen. Several years ago, I read a story about a young teenager who got caught driving in a snowstorm. Now, I know we're far from snow, and God keep it away for some of you haven't recovered from last winter. But anyway, snowstorm happened, and the teenage driver just pulled over. It was really bad, and then remembered what their dad had said to them. And their dad said, look, if you get caught in a snowstorm like that, wait for a snowplow and then follow it. So the driver waited, and along comes the snowplow. And so just pulled in right behind it and began to follow that plow. Followed that plow for over a half an hour. And finally, the plow driver pulls over and comes back to them and is like, you know, are you okay? And what's going on? And the teenager sort of explained, well, this is what my dad said to me. You know, if I ever was stuck in a storm, I was supposed to follow the plow. And so the plow driver kind of got quiet for a minute. He said, well, I'm done with the Walmart parking lot, and if you want to follow me to Target, we'll be fine. I don't know if that's true, but I want it to be true. It's like, it's so good. I want it to be true. You know what? Honestly, that story represents the sum of all fears for us if we're the teenage driver. The last thing any of us wants, and honestly, if we're really honest, that our flesh, just our own sort of inward focus, ever wants is to be lost, to be needy. And then honestly, we're also a little fearful of following our dad's advice because it might expose us to just how needy we really are. I want you to repeat the words I say back to me. I am needy. That feel good? We are so needy. Desperately needy. And the problem is we hate being needy. Don't you know that in our culture, neediness is like, that is the anti-anything. Like, the one thing you're never supposed to be is in need, or needy of anyone. And yet, our title and sermon today is literally just the first part of verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. That's all we're going to cover. But literally, in praying this prayer, literally these words, I think for a lot of Christians, though we would pray them in religious ease, it sounds good, you know, give us this day. But when you really get into a posture of neediness, it kind of sticks. It's almost like I could watch some of you begin to twitch a little. If you had to truly come to God, sort of like the Oliver Twist, please, sir, I want some more. We don't want to be that. In fact, some of us have convinced ourselves that Christianity is you not being in that position. Well, you should have your acts together. You've got this. You've been so obedient and followed the will and the plan of God that your life is just spot on. Your finances are in shape. You have been responsible and taken care of yourselves, and everything is just hunky-dory. How many of you, I'm not talking about you, but you think it should be that way. And we've got a lot of interesting ideologies of what spiritual maturity looks like and what it means to be in relationship with God. And somehow, we all know that we're supposed to be more spiritual, you know, pray more, read the Word of God more. How about be more needy? Does that sound funky? Because God, on God, in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus Christ, who is God, telling you how to have a relationship with God, when you communicate with Him, when you interact with Him, we get all into the first part. Our Father, yes, a great, glorious Dad, who art in heaven, infinite, awesome God, hallowed be Your name, the great prayer of my life, God, that Your name would be revered, Thy kingdom come, oh, the rule of God, Thy will be done, oh, the gloriousness of it. Now let's talk about us. Give. What? I was on the lofty train. How many of you are going that way? You know, I was like, wow, awesome. And then it comes to you and me. Help. I've got nothing. You know, I'm needy. Most of us run from being needy only to miss out on relationship with our Father. Only to miss out on relationship with our Father. Friends, it is interesting to me that from the beginning of Scripture all the way through, it's not like in the Old Testament, you know, we were supposed to be on it for everything and sufficient and everything, and it was only in the New Testament that we get to be needy. No, from the very beginning, God has called you and He's called me to a radical dependence upon God, and forever never being sufficient in ourselves, but need absolutely in need of God. Consider a verse that many of you selected for your life verse. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord sometimes, and ask Him occasionally what you don't know, and sometimes acknowledge Him because that helps, and He'll give you some wisdom. Is that how that goes? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your understanding. That basically means do not ever accept your own thoughts apart from Him. They're not worthy. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. God has always been about moving us to a place of complete, total dependence in the way we think, in the way we act, in the way we acknowledge our life. And you would say, well, why? Because of who He is. Consider, if your dad in heaven was anything less than who He is, it would make sense for Him to say, well, why don't you guys carry it for a little while? You know, just be sufficient a little bit. But I'm sorry, He can't come down out of heaven and stop being almighty, infinite, all-powerful, all-wisdom, all-everything you will ever need, all-the-time God. So doesn't it make sense for Him to say, depend on Me all the time? This is important. If your Father is both sovereign and sufficient for all things, then it should change the way that we pray to Him. It should change the way we pray. And when you come to this phrase, give us this day our daily bread, you're praying two things. And there's probably way more ways to talk about this. But the first thing, you want to know what you're praying for from God when you say that? You're praying for physical dependence. Literally, that's the big picture. What do you say when you say, give us this day our daily bread? You're coming to God and saying, I need You to exist. Like my very physical being, my life that I have right now, the totality of it, all of it, I need You. I cannot sustain this life apart from You at all. You're praying for physical dependence. And to pray that way, you're going to kind of have to own two aspects. The first thing is you're going to have to own a right attitude to pray that way. And here's the attitude. It's one of humility. How many of you just groan when you hear that word? Humility! Get low! Yay! Because I'd rather celebrate my sufficiency than revel in my insufficiency. Isn't that a bummer? Because wouldn't it be nice to celebrate your insufficiency? There's so much more of it. I mean, isn't God trying to throw us a bone? You know, he's like, I'm really trying to help you out here. What do you got a lot more of? Weakness. You do. It will take an attitude of humility. When you start taking these words apart, it only makes sense to arrive after God being who he is and how great he is and his kingdom being so marvelous, bought by the blood of Jesus, won through the cross, the power of the gospel, the narrative of time and eternity coming down to this point where it's Jesus rescuing lost people. So awesome. And then God's, whose perfect will in our life and around us will bring this about. When you come to the bigness of that, it should not be that the next thing is some other word. In fact, no other word would fit except in referencing us, give. How many of you, when you look at the... Does God's plan make you feel small? Does God's will ever reveal that you're not quite all that you should be? You better believe it. It's awesome. It's massive. It's huge. And then you look in the mirror and go, and I'm supposed to do something about that. Seriously, how do I... God, I'm me. How... Give. Give. Somebody wrote that behind this word is the heart of petition that recognizes its need. It recognizes that I'm not enough, God. I cannot do this apart from you. I can't do anything apart from you. But when we don't, friends, just let me tell you, this prayer is one that Satan does not want you to believe ever or pray, and that your flesh, that unredeemed part of you that still wars against the new man that God has created that won't get totally dealt with until heaven, hates this message. It's so funny. Our flesh craves sin and it's never satisfied, but the one thing it will never admit is that it's needy. I'm always going to be sufficient, all that stuff. It hates that. And if you want to have any evidence for us, just understand that coming to God needy or being low and humble, it is absolutely countercultural. Would you agree with that? I mean, how many of you know that America worships self-sufficiency? That is the American dream. You know that? The American dream is very simple. It's for me to get to a place of wealth and of physical security that is so great that I don't need any of you. That's the American dream. And in fact, I want to get to a point where I have sufficient wealth and means to not need any of you and to do whatever I want to have joy anytime I want without having to ask you. There's the American dream. Why don't they put that on a postcard, you know? Because that's the dream. That's the worship. It's me not needing anyone. Least of all people, but even more, not needing God. What's scary is that as Christians, we take that dream and tweak it just a little. We just do it religious. But it's the same dream. If I can just get mature enough, if I can just get spatially spaced, if I can just get my groove on, if I can just get in a church at a certain way so that I have all my comfortable spaces and all my kids are healthy and happy and we're all doing our things and I'm just sitting here and I get to come in and sing praises, but I really don't have to deal with any of you for my personal happiness. Isn't that a little frightening to anyone? But that happens all the time. What God is telling us, Jesus is saying us, when you pray, you acknowledge who God is, you acknowledge what His plan is, and you are longing for His name and His word and His plan and His will to be done, that should bring you to a place of humbly responding to Him by going, God, only You can bring this about in my life. I can't do it. And by the way, I'll hopefully have a few one-liners for you today. Here's one. I believe, this is just personally my statement, I believe that because we have avoided God in the minute aspects of our need, really due to arrogance and independence, that we are struggling to see Him in the larger spiritual aspects of our life. I believe there's an absolute direct correlation to you coming to God needy and the insecurity you have about God's plan, God's purpose, and God's presence in your life. So don't skip over this like, well, it's a nice thing to say. Give us this day our daily bread. What is He saying? Because I think this is a key that unlocks spiritual growth in your life, and it will radically transform the way you do relationship with God. If you have an attitude of humility, that's going to evidence it in two kind of, it's the same thing from different directions. First of all, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to come to God and you're going to humbly ask. You're going to humbly ask. Why are you going to humbly ask God for things? Because you're going to begin to understand who God is. Who this Heavenly Father is. James 1:17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. You begin to understand with an attitude of humility when you go to, you're my Father, you're God, you're all everything in my life comes from your hand. Every aspect of my life is your purview, your prerogative, your presence. All of them have their source in you, have their definition in you, have their resource in you. So what do I need to stop doing? Stop praying to God compartmentalized. We're notorious for this. We don't say, give us this day, because frankly, you think you're responsible for that part of your life. So what happens? Crisis comes along and suddenly we pray these prayers. You know, oh God, my heavenly lawyer, I could use you today. I could use some justifying. You know, I could, yes, please come to do that. Or, oh God, my heavenly doctor. You know, to many people, God is the great physician. And so, but that's the only thing you ever talk to Him about is medical stuff. Some of you are like, well, if you were as sick as I was, okay, I'm glad. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're talking to Him. But you somehow have got God boiled down to one area. God is not a lawyer. God is not a doctor. God is not an insurance agent. He's not a gardener. He's not there to beautify your life. He's your Father. He's the epicenter of all things all the time. And they all find that they have their source and their meaning in Him. But the danger is so many of us have boiled God down to a few narrow categories as if those are the only places He intersects your life. No, everything having to do with you intersects Him. That comes from Him. So when you understand who He is, you humbly ask. But then you also humbly receive. Now here's the other problem. We're not asking God about the simplistic things of our life. When's the last time you prayed that God would help you find the toothpaste? Does that seem like I'm dumbing Him down? Does that seem like I am taking God down out of heaven and treating Him tritely? Who helped you afford the toothpaste? God. Who created the molecules that made it? Well, He did. Who knows where you left it? He does. When was the last time you prayed and praised God and thanked Him for the resource that makes your face tolerable to the rest of us? You say, that's, you can't bring Christianity down there. You know what? A lot of you have never seen God in what happens to your face in the mirror. It's a wonder that you don't pray to Him when you get to the big things. Was I pushing any button? Because I pushed mine. You see, we somehow think that the little things are our purview. Like God has nothing to do with them. And we've almost been treated like God, like somehow I only pray about the sanctified, the holy, the reverent. But seriously, you know, you lose your watch. You're not sure about the car starting that morning. You're concerned about a recipe, ladies, and do you have the right ingredient and can you find it in your pantry? I don't know. But when was the last time you stopped in the middle of that and said, God, thank you for what you provide for me, and thank you, God, that you're going to help me find a way out of this recipe if I can't find that ingredient? Why would that be so important? Because you need to see God in your kitchen before you can see Him in your kid. Why does God say this? Why does He come to us this way? Because we want to come to Him up here, all lofty. And I'm just going to tell you, you're not. I'm not. I am His child. Not His social companion. But sometime I pray to Him like I am. And Lord, I know you're doing your kingdom work today. I'd like to join you in that. Would that be okay? Don't get lost in me being dramatic. Here's one of the problems that happens is we don't humbly ask, and then we don't, because we're not humbly asking, we're not humbly receiving. And this is where we're missing out relationship with Him. We've got to understand who God is. That humbles us down here to go, it's okay for me to ask about the simple things of my life, to know you in these simple ways. But I also need to humbly receive. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you didn't? Some of you are petrified over the needs of your life, but what you're not connecting to and what I am missing is that everything you have, He gave you. Everything you've got, every tiny little piece of the puzzle, this is all God loving you, interacting with you all day long. Kelsey and Alex, we dropped them off at Moody Bible Institute yesterday. It was really cool. We had a great send-off. There is more space in our house. We were so excited. But she's not here. But when she was really little, I mean like three-year-old, we're sitting at our table, and she's trying to put together this craft. And it was so like one of those parenting moments where this is beyond her. So I'd sit down as dad, and I hadn't done this a lot, so I sit down and I start helping her put this thing together, and I'm putting all the stuff she can't do, you know, and I'm putting it all together, and we get it done, and she grabs it off the table, runs and finds Kim. It's like, Mommy, look what I did. Okay, you want to hear something so pathetic? I'm sitting there, and in my heart I'm going, well, not by yourself. I literally am like sitting there going, come on. Like I'm fighting the temptation to walk down the hall and just like lean over Kim. Well, you know I helped, right? Like, you know I did that. Come on. Okay, is that like, you probably think less of me. I'm that pathetic. But understand this, friends. Understand this. It makes no sense for Kelsey to run back and go, oh, but Daddy did that. But what about your Heavenly Father? See, so many of us are running around with our life, and this is the only flag we're waving. Look what I did. Look what I can do. Look how smart I am. Look how sustaining I am. You know, I did this, I did that. And the crazy thing is that there is not one thing you have ever done outside of the gracious love of a Heavenly Father who sustains you, made you, and holds you together by the very word of His power. And I know this sounds harsh, but honestly, it is a healthy thing when you and I can look in the mirror and not sort of like self-depreciating, but just go, pathetic. Yeah. Why? To help us understand that, go, why am I striving to be sufficient? How many of you have ever been in the room? I know this is really awkward thing to say. When you know a person you're with has huge insecurities, and they're like being the hero of their story, and it's really awkward. Isn't that hard? And part of your heart knows, I hope they're okay. And oh, this is a story. Ah, they're always like this. They're always so needy. Guess what Christians look like when they miss this concept? As if you and I have something great to talk about of ourselves, apart from our dad. Do you know how much freedom there is when you and I go, man, my dad helped. Look at what my dad did. Can you believe my dad's awesome. Do you know what it is that is so sad? Is that so many Christians are trying to be beloved of their own worth instead of being beloved because of their dad. How much love is God worth? How much value is God worth? It's massive. It's unending. It's all abounding. And God asks us to love one another for His sake. And how beloved do we become to one another when I don't have to sit there and wonder, are you worth it or not? But I hear you say, man, I'm just trusting in my Father. I'm like, man, I love you. Why? Your dad is awesome. I see Him in you. I see what He's doing in you. I'm so excited about Him in you. I can't believe He created you that way. Oh, man, God's using you. And suddenly, this barrier of our own sufficiency is removed and God is unleashed and relationship starts happening. It's hard to feel close in a church that's going, look at me. It's amazing. To be with a group of believers is going, oh, I need Him. Yeah. But we see Him. Are you still with me, church? You know what I'm saying? The attitude is of humility. To pray, give, is to pray humbly. But what is it specifically that we're requesting? When you pray, give us this day our daily bread. Here it comes. What is the request? It's this. Sustain me. That's what you're praying to God when you say, give me this day my daily bread. Sustain me. Sustain this life that you bought on the cross. Sustain it, God. Sustain it and use it as you will. And I'm going to give you three ways of thinking about sustain me. And they're easy. When, what, and why. And they're all answered in this little phrase. When are we asking God to sustain us? Okay, if you take anything out of this sermon, please take this. Because this unlocks a lot of your spiritual life. When do you pray? You pray for this day. You pray this day. Give us this day, God, on this day, or the day that is coming. Why is God so passionate? Why does Jesus Christ say, if you would have a relationship with God that is healthy and growing, get on to this day? Because your self-sufficiency is always going to pray about tomorrow. Your heart is always going to take you into the future. And it's always going to take you out there into the distance of the bill that is coming, the thing going on in that relationship, the this, the that, the over there. And here's what God knows. If you don't know me today, what makes you think you're not going to be a basket case tomorrow? This day, He says. In fact, as you go down into Matthew 6, down in verse 34, He says this, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Friends, when you go back into the Old Testament, how many of you know what the term manna means? If you don't know what it is, when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt and they ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years, God came up with an ingenious way to feed them. And every morning, manna, and nobody knows what manna is. I think they're like waffles, but I don't know where they would have got the syrup. But you know, what is manna? Literally, this manna, this sustenance would fall to the ground, and it was so interesting that this is the way God fed them. They would have to get up every day and go out and gather it. And yet, He made absolute parameters around this. He said, you will gather for this day. And anytime anyone tried to like store a little extra manna, how many of you have taken too much from the buffet line? You know, just like, I don't know if it's going to be there when I get back. There's some hungry looking people. I might have that extra, you know. Guess what would happen to it? It would rot. It would rot. In fact, it's so interesting when you look at the Israelites, God is pounding into them over and over again. Have a moment by moment, real dependent relationship with me. And if you ever deviate from that, you will get sick. Remember they cried out to God and they were so, we're tired of manna. Give us some meat. Give us some steak and ribs, God. We want real meat again. And they begged Him for it. You know what He did? He sent in a flock of quail. The Bible says that the quail came in so thick, it's literally coming up to their gills with it. And they grabbed that meat and they gorged themselves and they made themselves miserable. And then the carcasses rotted in the camp. I'm being very straightforward, but that's the way some of your lives and my life can look. Because we've so fixated on tomorrow. And God, you can only be a good God if you can go out in tomorrow and you can guarantee me that I will marry so-and-so, or I will have this kind of future, or I can secure this, or we can live in this, or this and this. And God, I'm praying out there for the future, but you know what? I really don't care to know you today because I got plans for today. And I fixated on, you know what happens? When you finally get to it, it rots in your stomach and it's never going to satisfy. Because friends, you were not saved to experience temporal blessings. You were saved to experience relationship with the living God. What's the most satisfying in the world? Jesus. Knowing Him. Having Him in your day. A real God that you're experiencing. This day, God, I need to come to you with this day. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Praying towards things in the future, that is not sin. Don't be legalistic with this. Don't like start judging each other. Oh, you were praying about tomorrow. Don't do that. It is not wrong. But you know what I would think God would tell you this morning? Do not start there. Ever. Because the minute you start there, you are saying something of your own sufficiency. God, Jesus, is telling you, you begin talking to Him about the day you're in first. I think that's profound. When do you pray? Daily. But how about this? What am I asking Him for? What? Well, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Well, what's that? It's interesting, the word kind of has to do with the idea of all the necessities of sustaining life. Your food, your clothing, your shelter. John Stott said this, I thought it was really good. Everything necessary for the preservation of this life is bread, including food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, wife, children, peace. He even threw good government in there. That's bold. But the problem is that you and I are so prone to do the very same thing. If you've had kids or been around them, how many of you know if given an option, we will bypass dinner for dessert? How many of you have watched this in action? It's like clockwork, you know? You mean I can have cake now? That's where we go. I want to have dessert first. And here's the thing. So many of us pray, we have a dessert prayer life. And I'm not saying the things you're praying about are insignificant, but honestly, they're the unique specialty items. Friends, like if you're a loving parent, you do this one thing. There's sometimes you just chuck all wisdom and you eat whatever you want. That's Christmas. Seriously. You want eggnog and four chocolate bonbons and you want to wash it down with pie? God bless you. But here's what you know as a parent. 3 a.m, you're going to see them again. And the next day, they are going to be a bear. They're going to be so hard to live with. Now imagine that as a church. Just think of that. Welcome to our church. We're dessert church. You're going to love this moment, hate the rest of it. Because we've tried to build satisfaction and a relationship with God based on dessert instead of daily needs. You need your four basic food groups. You need your relationship with God. And your relationship with God is built on the daily things. And here's the thing. If you are not praying daily to Him for what you daily desire, then it makes everything after that inconsistent and hard to connect with. You can imagine why Satan hates the idea of you praying daily for the gas in your car. You say, why would that freak Satan out? Because he'll get to know God. He'll see Jesus on his way to work. He will find God invested in his day. I cannot have this man figuring out that God is present all the time. I need him insecure. I need him praying for dessert. I need him far distances between him and believing that the living God is actually at work in his life. So I am just going to keep him on a sporadic strung out, because if he ever figures out that he could know Jesus in the simple things of his life, it would change his family. It changes his relationship with that person. Oh my goodness. The people that might get saved, if we ever figured that out, that would be bad. You guys still with me? We pray for our daily needs, the simple things, the basics of your life, the building blocks that sustain your life. We come to God and we, Lord, this day. That's when. That's what. Why do you pray that way? You pray that way so that you will honor God, that you will be invested in His kingdom, that you will not be a Christian that is so inwardly focused that you cannot be focused on God. There's a powerful passage of Scripture in Proverbs 30. Verses 8 and 9. If you're writing things down, write that down. Because it's an interesting prayer. And the psalmist says this, keep deception and lies far from me. And I love that in context with this verse. Because it's like, God, don't let me think broken thoughts about what's important in life. Don't let me buy the world's philosophy of what satisfies. Don't do that, God. God, keep all of that bad thinking about relationship with you. Just keep it away. Then he says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Okay, who can pray that honestly? Like, God, keep me from poverty, but please don't give me a lot of money. Lord, please, I would hate a new car. I don't need it. God, our house is fine. You really would pray for it? Yeah. Feed me with the food that is my portion. Give me what I need. Listen to this. That I not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. There's a reason why God wants us in the simplicity of this day. And when we think about what we're asking Him for, why pray? Give me this day, God, what I need. Don't let me believe, God, that somehow I can just, you know, get what I want and I'll be fine. I need to follow you this day. We have so many unfortunately, Christians, it's all around us in the world, but when a believer is out there desperately trying to secure their own life frantically, and as they're frantically doing it, they're wrecking relationships around them and dishonoring the name of their God because their highest priority is getting what they think they need above all else. And it's such a tragedy, and it happens. I've done it. You've probably done it. And God doesn't want us to do that. I wrote this down, and maybe it'll be helpful to you. Beware of praying for independence from your Father. Christian, consider, is some of your prayer life just praying that God will give you the stuff so you can quit talking to Him? God, if you would just answer this prayer so I wouldn't need you so much. Consider that a lot of these things going on in your life, they're there that you would have relationship with the living God. They're real things, real all this stuff, but it is so easy to somehow get a version of what we think is best, and what we think is best is a life without conflict, a life of security, a life of safety, and all the emotional things aligning, and it's all going to be good, and that's the target. Wrong. God, sustain me in the midst of a broken world and let me know You. That's it. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. Beware praying for independence from your Father. Well, how do we do that? How do you do that? What can you do? Christian, what can you do right now that would change the way you're experiencing God? I mean, just from this text, give us this day our daily bread. Here's what I would say. When you pray, pray about your Father first. Honestly, if every one of us, let's say let's all make a pact. We're all going to start our days with prayer this week. I hope you do regularly, but if you don't, you know, like you said, John, I'm really inconsistent. Okay, just come this week. Just come with us. Let's do this. And let's promise ourselves that we're going to begin praying about our Father first. Before my list comes forward, even the dailiness of my need, I'm going to follow this pattern that Jesus is laying out in the Bible about communicating with God, and I'm going to pray about my Father first, what that might look like. Here, I'll give you a few examples. You could start out by saying, God, I'm just going to thank You that You're my Father. Right now, I am going to thank You that You are actually, because of Jesus, my Dad. I'm going to start my day reminding myself that You, oh God, are my Heavenly Father. Oh yeah, I'm going to pray that. And God, thank You that You are my Father in heaven. And I'm going to remind myself today, God, thank You for being Almighty and Omnipotent God. You are the Infinite One, who knew me from before time and has a plan for me. And You have all good things. They come from You, God. You are the resource for everything that could ever possibly happen today. I'll start praying that. Oh yeah, God, I want to pray. God, the best thing that could happen today, the best thing, is that Your name would be hallowed. Seriously, God, the greatest thing that could ever happen is that You would hallow Your name, that Your character would impact the way I live. God, that my kid would hallow Your name today. That's the best thing that could happen. That me and my wife and our marriage, we would hallow Your name together. That You'd show up in the way we're relating. God, at work, that You would be revered by the way that I live and I talk and I act. God, I want to pray about Your name today. Oh yeah, God, let me live like the gospel is the most precious thing there is. That Jesus Christ is worth more than anything. That today, the most valuable thing that I will encounter, interact with, or show forth is salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen, church? You and I, let's start with God in our prayer. Before you go anywhere else, God, I want to pray about You today. What are you going to do second? Pray about the little things of your day. For some of you, this will feel like going back. I remember I started praying this way, and I was like, I feel like I'm in kindergarten. I'm like, God, this seems awkward. Lord, I could really use a new shirt. It's ripped. I need that. Lord, I don't know how lunch is going to come today or where that's coming from. Lord, would you help me in that? And God, I could use some peace for the meeting that I'm going into today. Lord, I don't know how that's going to exist. And so, Lord, I know I'm a pastor and I should be confident, but I'm scared spitless about this. So could you, and Lord, I'm exhausted. God, I'm really tired today. Father, I'm tired. And I don't know where I'm going to get the strength to get through this day. And Lord, my car's got a strange sound and I'm worried about that. And Lord, see, friends, that may sound simplistic, but basically this is what's happening. These prayers are not flippant prayers. These are your life. Did I describe any of your lives? It's your life, the one that God gave you. Seriously, consider that your lost keys were planned from eternity. Does that grapple anybody? Like God didn't plan that and know about that and have a significant lesson that He might want to share with you about something that small? It is not a flippant thing for you to pray about. Why? Because in doing that, you are acknowledging that every need that you have and every instance of your life is one that is connected to Him. Our prayers are not flippant. Our prayers are not futile. Why? Because, friends, you do not see God in your life because you do not think you need God in your life. That's our flesh. I don't think I need Him for those things. And is it any wonder, friends, that some of us, the last time you saw God do something powerful and big, I was at this youth camp and three people came forward and I remember that 33 years ago when that happened. Boy, that was exciting to know there's a God out there. Haven't talked to Him much since. You know what happens when you and I begin to interact with God on the basic necessities of our life? Imagine if you moving forward in your spiritual life, that meant from this day forward, there would never be one that you did not see Almighty God at action in your life. Do you think that would change your participation in the prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done? God is giving us permission to be who we are, not who we want to be. You and I, how many of you know you got a long way before sanctification is done? Anybody testify? And some of us think that God's not going to use you until you get over here and you practically hover into the building on holiness. Oh, you've got holiness. It's Christ. But when do you start getting to be passionate about being engaged in things of God? When you believe that God is passionately engaged with you. That His kingdom, all of these things, that they're accessible to you. So pray about the little things. And then finally, if we would do that in the morning, I'm talking times, nothing, just God, I'm going to start with you. God, I'm going to start with my day. And then finally, how about this one? Pray that you will be content with what God provides. How many of you know what God thinks you need today is maybe not your list? How many of you know that His list is always better? Oh, I don't like that. I can get pretty attached to what I think this day needs. But there is something powerful that happens in the heart of a Christian when we really start getting daily with God, because He will provide. He will provide your basic needs. You will begin to see God at work in the basic necessities of sustaining you, and it will give you patience with the fact that His plan is better than yours. It's a great thing if you could come to bed at night and in your mind and your heart going, God, I thought I knew what this day needed, and yet I am laying here and I'm still breathing. thank you. I thought I needed resolve here. I thought I needed this provision. I thought we needed this, and I thought we didn't need that. And I had a whole list, and God, you provided this, and you went sideways. You provided something. I didn't even ask you for that. I want to praise you for that. But you didn't provide this. And God, thank you for being the God who sustains me and knows me. Give us this day our daily bread. I like dessert. How about you? But I will testify to you, and I'm with you in this, friends. Jesus is starting to taste better. Oh, not all the time. I got to fight this too. But to begin to know Him in your day, to experience the living God in the simplicity of life. And you know what? Friends, if you will, as Christ has commanded us here, pray this way. He's building His kingdom. There are going to be big moments out there, gigantic ones. And what will the need of that day be? When the rest of the world is panicking, when your family is fluctuating, when there's fear in those moments, what would really be of immense value is a kingdom-minded Christian who was not hyperactively overreacting, but was simply in the moment going, oh, this is hard, this is tough, but we have a God who provides. How do you know that? Well, I'm standing here. You want to hear about my last week? Let me take you through all the minutiae that my living God provided to this step. And if the God who cared about where my lost keys were could help me find them, He can get us through this. Amen? All right, let's pray. God, this lesson I'm going to have to learn my whole life. But let us be a congregation of believers who are not driven by false relationship practices with You. But may we, even this week, I pray this week, that the challenge will be accepted, that Your people here will begin their week praying first about You and then about the dailiness of their day, that we would see You, God, see You in our homes, see You in our lives, see You at our work, see You at our high schools, and that, God, You would be with us in these things. That we would be a people who could proclaim the kingdom of heaven, the wonder of Jesus Christ, and not like a, you try it, it'll help, but You can know the living God. That's our passion. We'll give You the glory in Your name.